ESPN Seattle.
Snapshot, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill.
This is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Welcome, everybody. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle. The opening drive is brought to you by Cherish, Friday edition of the program. We got a big show coming up today for everybody. Coming up at 3:30, you know him, you love him, former Seahawks wide receiver, one of the best receivers in the history of the organization, Doug Baldwin will join us at 3:30. Looking forward to that conversation. The professor, John Clayton, at 4 o'clock, as always, and then somebody to put a smile on our face, make us laugh. Our friend Adam Ray, comedian Adam Ray, will join us at 4:30. Try to lighten the mood. And then also your opportunity to send in mean texts. We gave it, two weeks of a break there as everything's going on. I think our skin has thickened to the point where we can handle mean texts at this point. So if you want to send them in, 710-710, we'll do that in the show as well. But guys, looking forward to the conversation with Doug Baldwin, and he has not been out publicly in terms of speaking much, Dave, but doing something very cool in the community. We definitely want to promote what he's doing in light of everything that's going on with the coronavirus.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I felt the same way at the end of my career as he did. I didn't want to have anything to do with football. I wanted to kind of make my name or, you know, do something that I really, you know, could sort of make a difference. And, you know, I ended up being a financial advisor, which, you know, was cool. You're helping people plan for their futures and everything. But I was kind of mad at football. I don't know if Doug feels that same way, but he hasn't really talked about football or anything. That's not really been his deal. He's done a lot of sort of community service type of things, and I think that's what he wants to be known for, and that he's more than just a football player. And I kind of felt that way too. So it'll be interesting to see how much he thinks about football and whether he misses it or not. And then, you know, I'm assuming he's probably going to say no, but yeah, just some of the things that he's up to right now helping the community.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be great to catch up with Doug at 3:30. And it's the website. He's got a community center, Family First Renton Community Center, and it's familyfirstrenton.org, recruiting volunteers to help deliver food. So we'll get all the details, though, with Doug at 3:30. And, yeah, it's, you know, try to see what he thinks of DK Metcalf, the Seahawks receiving core, but more importantly, see what he's doing for the community.
Well, and he was always fun, whether people liked him, didn't like him, thought he was too outspoken or don't agree with his social position, whatever. He was a guy that always spoke his mind. He was always very entertaining to talk to. And, you know, he would come in and just sort of, you know, impromptu join us there in the huddle, Dave. Remember that? He came in and just sat down and had a conversation, talked about the quarterback and the know-it-all at the station. He was a fun guy. I loved talking to Doug Baldwin. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation.
Well, and I always just wanted to talk more about life with him than anything. I think that would be a great, whether it's a podcast or whatever. I told him, if you ever do anything like that and you don't call me first, I'm going to kill you. But he's just a lot of fun to talk to. And, yeah, he's just a very sweet guy. And, you know, it shows in what he's trying to do now. But, you know, he was angry when he was playing. I mean, he called it passionate. But I get that. And I've talked a lot about that when you're a player, you just have a little bit more of an edge. You kind of have to. And he did. He definitely had that edge. But now, you know, he's a different guy. And, you know, he doesn't want to be defined, like I said, of just being a football player. So, yeah, just a very compassionate guy. Very cool. I love talking to him. He's one of my favorites.
Jim, is he one of the few athletes that hasn't wanted to knock you out?
No, I think he might be in that group as well, Bob.
Oh, I think he wanted to
bring that up. Did you make him mad too?
I can't remember exactly why he was upset with me for something, but and I remember just sitting there thinking, man, if I'm Doug Baldwin and I'm 27 years old, I'm playing wide receiver in the NFL for such a successful team, I wouldn't really care what this 50-something guy is saying about me on the radio, but he seemed genuinely concerned about that. And it wasn't like it was, you know, it didn't really get that combative or anything like with Michael Bennett or Richard Sherman. But, no, I just – the only thing I'll say about Doug, and I appreciate what you guys are saying about him, I just – I hope that he enjoyed his career as much as we all did watching him. He always seemed too serious to me, but then I say that about a lot of people. And like Dave is saying, I mean, between the lines, you really got to be serious, and you got to be that angry Doug Baldwin guy that we used to see all the time in a Seahawks uniform. But at the same time, I guess I was always thinking, man, in my 20s, I was always having a good time, and I hope Doug is too.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to him. We'll see. That's coming up at 3:30 today. Again, John Clayton at 4 o'clock, Adam Ray at 4:30. One of the newest Seahawks added to this roster, Philip Dorsett, a former teammate of our very own Jake Heaps out there in Miami, who joined their show today. A couple of cuts from him just to get people more familiar with him. Cut number one, talked about just being blessed to work with Luck and Brady, but always wanted to play with Russell Wilson.
It was amazing. It was amazing, honestly. I mean, obviously, I've been blessed to catch passes from Andrew and Tom, but playing with Russell Wilson is definitely something I've dreamed of. I mean, somebody I've always watched. I mean, he's a magician. So it's just to be blessed to be able to be a Seahawk is amazing.
Dave, do you think if you're, and I know you're a linebacker, but as a wide receiver, do you think it feels weird to think there's a receiver that looks at this team and says, man, I want to play for them. Now, I get the winning part of it, but this has always been deemed a run-first offense, and Russell will run, quite often. It's just not known for its passing as much as he is one of the better passers in the league, maybe throws the best deep ball. It's not happening often enough to where I would think a receiver would look at it and go, yeah, that's where I want to be playing.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's – you know, over the years, I mean, we thought originally that's who Russ was going to be. And, you know, the pass totals, and we've talked about, you know, the winning percentage based on how many times Russell's thrown the ball in a game. But, you know, it's kind of crept up there. I think 34 was maybe the highest, which is, you know, up there with most players. I mean, I think Patrick Mahomes is like around 40, you know. So, and he's also used to that because New England's always kind of wanted to run the ball first. So I thought, you know, him wanting to play with Russell, I thought this might be one of the things we figure out about him that maybe the Seahawks saw that we didn't see from the numbers and just briefly looking at him play, is that he might be one of those guys that's really good when the play breaks down. And, you know, Tyler Lockett's great at that. Doug Baldwin was the best as far as, you know. And Russ, we know he likes to scramble. He likes to get outside of the pocket. He always thinks he can get away, which I think leads to some of the sacks for Russ. But it also leads to some spectacular plays like the one this year against the Rams where he threw it to Tyler Lockett for a touchdown. So, you know, if he has that kind of knack, because it's something that you truly have to have a knack. Some guys aren't very good at it. Greg Olsen's good at it, by the way, when the play breaks down. And Cam Newton had plenty of broken plays where he was trying to, you know, run outside the pocket and throw on the run. And you have to have sort of a sense for where to sit down, when to run through. And some guys will run through zones, and that's how you get your head taken off. But, you know, they always say, you know, if it's man, then run. If it's zone, sit down, try to find a place where you got an opening. And there's almost like a sense for that you have to have as a receiver.
Well, I look at Dorsett, you know, right now, and I'm thinking, and Bob, I know that you're lukewarm on the acquisition because you don't necessarily think that he's going to be that much better than David Moore and Jerron Brown looking at his stats there at New England. But I just, right. I like everything I'm hearing about him and reading about him and how he can fly. And Jake Heaps was a teammate of his at the University of Miami talking about what a great locker room fit he is, an extremely hard worker. And I look at David Moore and Jerron Brown. We know that Brown's not going to be back, and we think that David Moore will be since he was tendered. But I think Dorsett, there's more of an upside there. There's more. I think he goes into it being the leading candidate to be the, if you even call it that, the third leading receiver. But it's something the Seahawks have been looking to get, and I think Dorsett fits the bill because he's averaged 30 catches the last 2 years with the Patriots, and you put that up against David Moore averaging 22 and Jerron Brown averaging 15, and he's a burner. So you put him out there with Metcalf and Lockett, and you got another guy to throw to, and especially if you have Disley coming back and Greg Olsen and Hollister. So you got an array of weapons now for Russell Wilson.
Cut number two, he talks about, you know, the Seahawks standing out to him.
I would say the recruiting prospect. Like, it was just, I got calls from Pete Carroll, Sanjay, he just got there, Russell Wilson, and just the pitch. I mean, just to be able to play in Seattle, play with the quarterback, play with those receivers, be a part of that city. It's something I really couldn't turn down.
And again, Dave, I'll lean on you with this is that as a guy that's out there in the league and looking for a job, that goes a long way to have a head coach call you and recruit you, the starting quarterback call you and recruit you. I mean, yeah, money's great and everybody's working for as much as they can possibly get, but that feeling of hey, they want me there and I can be a part of something, that goes a long way. As much as it seems simple, oh, they made a phone call, okay, well, it feels like that. You know, might be above and beyond what other organizations might be doing.
Well, first of all, it's really cool for in free agency that somebody wants you. You know, and that's how I felt going to Denver. And then, you know, they had John Elway there and Carl Mecklenburg and Steve Atwater and Dennis Smith and Shannon Sharp. And I was like, wow, I want to go play with these guys. Where I was coming from wasn't a lot of fun in 92 playing for the Seahawks. Sorry, folks, but it just wasn't. So, yeah, that and then think about we talked a little bit about this yesterday. Who are the really good franchises, like where you want to go right now? Probably Kansas City, you know, San Francisco, of course, Seattle, maybe Dallas, you could say. They put a lot of money into what they're doing, San Francisco. But, you know, some of the other ones on the downside are like Cincinnati, you know, Washington. I mean, those are Miami. Those are places that you don't really want to go. So, yeah, I think I think the perception from the outside is that this team has a lot of fun because these guys all talk to each other. And, you know, when I played, you weren't texting buddies and barely talked to anybody after a game, even if you knew them in college. But now, you know, these guys are all friends, having either played together in college or somewhere else, or maybe worked out with the same trainer or have the same agent, and the word gets out about how much fun it is here in Seattle, and they win also. And, you know, having fun and everything, that's great, but if winning is going along with it, I just would think for him it would be much more less of a grind than winning in New England.
Well, Jim, before you jump in on that, I have to use Dave's transition, because cut number three, Philip Dorsett says, seems like they have a lot of fun out here.
Everything was positive. I mean, it was just, you can just tell that they like to have fun up there. And it's something that you just want to be a part of. I mean, you can see the excitement they have in their voices. They sounded very genuine, sounded like they really wanted me to be a part of it. And it's, like I said, it was just something I didn't want to turn down.
I think you can relate to that.
Yeah, that's something that we've heard over and over again from New England players that have gone elsewhere, not just to Seattle. But I don't know. Hollister didn't really tell us too much about that when we talked to him. But Cassius Marsh, he's certainly on record with saying that it was no fun in New England. And you look at, I suppose that Belichick's still going to have a very good team this coming year, but with Tom Brady leaving to go to Tampa, if you're Philip Dorsett and you're a free agent, I think you were looking to go just about anywhere else and thinking it's going to be a lot more fun anywhere else you go, and especially in Seattle.
Cut number four, he was asked how he's got to get to know these guys. I'm sure he obviously has spoken with Russell. I'm probably some other relationships on the team, but overall, how he's going to get to know the team with all of the coronavirus precautions in place.
It's tough. I mean, that's a tough question because you don't really know what's going on. Obviously, it's a lot going on in the world right now. I mean, holding up a lot of things, sports right at a standstill. So, I have Tyler's number. I have Russell's number. So I know he likes to get guys together and work out. And hopefully when we're able to travel and do some things, that he'll gather us up and we can actually go and get to work.
Yeah, that's, I would think, Dave, that's one of the legitimate downsides to this right now is all we have ever heard about Russell is what he just said there, that he likes to get these guys, get together, work out in the offseason. We heard all about, you know, how much time he spent with DK Metcalf before last season and how much that paid off. And, you know, obviously you would assume he'd like to do the same with Philip Dorsett, but just not in a position. I mean, what do you do if you're a new addition to this team? I guess they send you a playbook and maybe a talk about the plays over the phone, but really no way to work on timing, work on, you know, here's how I like to do this, here's how I like to run my routes or any of that. You can't really do anything.
Yeah, but they can still communicate. And again, we're equipped for that better than anybody. It just kind of brought to mind, like, they could have, you know, these kind of chats. We did that Teams thing that didn't work out, end up, because I couldn't get it, you know, where I could see everybody at the same time. But, you know, you can probably do some things like that. My wife, just for example, she's got a bunch of buddies that haven't been together, and they usually get together once a week, once every 2 weeks, and they're all going to, you know, make hors d'oeuvres or something like that and some kind of a drink, and then they're going to get on this big chat thing and they're going to sit there and talk and have fun and just kind of reconnect with each other. And I'm hoping that the Seahawks don't make hors d'oeuvres and fancy drinks, but that they you know, they're able to talk. And, you know, again, you're right, it's definitely shut down. It's going to be totally different, but it's not like it used to be. You can at least get to know, you know, like I said, these guys are all already sort of interconnected through whether it's social media or, you know, their cell phones and things like that. So at least they can get that part done as far as getting to know a guy. But, you know, as far as the timing and everything, yeah, it's a little going to be a little bit more difficult. But, you know, you figure everybody's on the same page. And again, whoever is smart during this period and comes out of this the best. And it was like I was talking to my daughter. She's disappointed. She doesn't get to do these concerts, but she's working on music. She's trying to get better so that when this does get, you know, fixed, then she's going to come out of it, you know, in a good way. And so I think for a lot of people, I think they're trying to get in shape and they're trying to do all these good things so that on the backside of this thing, you know, they come out doing better. And I feel like the Seahawks are probably going to be, you know, one of the teams that handle it really well just because of the relationships that that everybody has coming into this building.
Jim, before we go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I also think that it was important for the Seahawks, especially this year with the coronavirus putting everything on hold, that they got a veteran receiver to come in here and be their third receiver, because you look at, I mean, this guy, he knows the ropes. He's been in the league for 3 or 4 years. So you like his veteran savvy that he's getting into Seattle, as opposed to, even though the draft is supposed to be great for wide receivers this year, we still know the history outside of guys like DK Metcalf and a handful of others. They typically struggle in the first year, but you got a guy in Philip Dorsett who's going to show up here and he's going to know the lay of the land, and he should be completely fine with that. I also, during the interview that he had with Tom, Jake, and Stacy on their show today, Stacy Ross asked him a question about his personal life, and we found out that he's a scary movie guy. He's planning on getting married, and he's unselfish to a fault. And I love hearing that about a guy who is completely unselfish, and he said he needs to work on that a little bit. And then in cut 7, we also found that he has a dog.
Me and my fiance, we have a dog named Dash. Aww. And his name is perfect for him because all he does is run around.
I wanted to work that in, Bob, before we went to take 2.
Yeah, Jim, that's what I was going to do, but you did it. So there you go. We got it done either way. Everybody wins.
So, you heard it, folks. Jim's trying to take over the show.
Yeah, that's what I was going to tell him. I was going, yeah. Jim, before you answer, Jim, I want to get to cut 7 because I think you'd be interested in this, but you found your way there.
I can't
anyway,
read your mind.
God bless you, Jim. God bless you. Let's take 2.
I love you, Bob.
It's time to take 2, brought to you by Infinity of Tacoma at 5.
Take 2!
The MLB and the MLB Players Association reached an agreement on salary and service time issues with the season delay. Jeff Passan reports that part of the agreement is that the 2020 season will not start until there are no bans on mass gatherings that would limit playing in front of fans, there are no travel restrictions in the U.S. and Canada, and until medical experts determine that there will be no risk for staff, players, and fans.
So basically the idea of playing in a stadium that's empty or anything that sounds like anything other than business as usual is not on the table for Major League Baseball. So whenever they get the all clear for, you know, 45,000 fans or whatever the number is in a building and you can travel with no restrictions, you're not going to see baseball.
How many games do you guys think they'll play this year? You think it'll be half? You think it'll be none?
I'd say 120. Yeah.
Really?
I'd be happy with that. I'd be happy if you get over 100
games.
Yeah, me too. At this point, I mean, it was supposed to start yesterday. It was game one. If we think this is going through April, you know, it may. I don't know. It's if they get over 100 games, I will be very satisfied.
NHL Seattle says construction on Key Arena will continue through shelter-in-place order under the governor's guidance.
Well, that's good news, I guess. I know people were fearful that this would delay, you know, the hockey franchise and everything they've got in place and that getting launched on time. So, good to know. Obviously, they're going to take all the precautions they need to in order to do this safely. But the fact that work will be ongoing, the construction there at Key Arena will continue. And hopefully this, you know, will land everything on schedule as it we expected it to be. It'd be cool if they could announce the name. I wouldn't mind hearing about the name at some point.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that's what all listeners and texters want to know is if that's going to happen. But it's good to hear that they're going through with that. You know, we were hitting this so hard last year, and we really haven't talked about it a lot this year. I feel like news and for the NHL team has definitely sort of dropped off the cliff, and it would be nice. It seems like it would be a good time for them to announce that right now. I think everybody would love that.
I agree with you, Dave, and I thought I heard some rumblings that maybe they would do just that. And boy, this thing, it seems like it's been postponed and postponed and postponed, and it's kind of like Michael Kendrick's sentencing date. Let's go already. Let's get it out there with the Kraken, and I think it'd be fun, and people could, you know, buy up some jerseys and different things, and I'm hoping they have that in the works. And it's also encouraging to hear that they're, because I think they postponed construction on the Key Arena remake, and now to be back in it, and we know that the tight timelines those things are on, and so you're still looking at starting NHL play on time next year.
There you go. A little take two for you. You guys can text in throughout the show, 710-710. You can send in some mean texts, and some of you have already done that. I don't know if you're doing it in honor of mean text or if you're just mean people in general. But either way, text in, 710-710. And we've got the one, the only Doug Baldwin joining us next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app. It's powered by Dubin Law Group. It is free and incredibly convenient right now. Most of you unable to listen to the radio you otherwise would be sitting in front of your radio in your car in traffic, wherever you'd be. And most of us are at home at this point. So the app is perfect. It's free. Download it and you can take the show with you. We're going to catch up with Doug Baldwin here in just a few moments as soon as he calls in. Looking forward to that conversation. Again, you guys can text in. 710-710 is the text line. We'll do mean texts later on in the show. And again, some of you have already jumped on board with that and are in the spirit of it, and some of you might just be mean people. Either way, if it's creative, we'll use it. So text those in to 710-710. Jim, before we get Doug on here, I was waiting for a more expansive answer from Philip Dorsett on his dog. I was a little disappointed. That was a little brief on the dog.
Well, yeah, I suppose, you know, I mean, we could have found out what kind of dog, whether it was a mutt or a purebred, but no, I enjoyed finding out more about him. He told Stacy and Jake and Tom that he's into scary movies, and he's recently watched The Invisible Man, and I've already, you know, mentioned to the kids that we should watch that tonight. And like I said before the break, I also you know, really appreciate him saying that he's an unselfish guy to a fault. And usually when you hear that someone's unselfish, you really appreciate that. But he feels like he maybe needs to be a little more selfish than he is right now. So it's going to be fun to see him when he gets here to Seattle.
Yeah, unselfish is not usually a word you hear attached to a wide receiver in the league. I mean, it's, you know, for whatever reason, the most temperamental players seem to be cornerbacks and wide receivers in this league. And, you know, I just got done watching a special on T.O. on the NFL Network, which is fascinating. You know, he's a guy that just, to this point, still doesn't seem to quite get it. You know, he's a guy, I don't know how many people watched it, but, you know, just sort of talking about the trouble he had in different locker rooms. And, you know, you could hear that he still feels a little justified in a lot of his actions and that it wasn't all his fault. Maybe it wasn't all his fault, but you go to three different locker rooms and the same story comes out of all three. The problem's you, isn't it, Dave?
Yeah. Well, in receivers too, I've kind of said that they are probably that way because there's so many other things that have to happen for them to have success. You know, I mean, a running back kind of makes his own way, quarterback, offensive line. I mean, you look at every position, but a receiver has to have good blocking and has to have the quarterback have enough time. Then the quarterback's got to put the ball on the money. Now they got to run their route and do that. But I feel like, you know, that old saying, I mean, this is ever since anybody who ever played flag football or a pickup game of football, there's always the guy coming back to the huddle going, "Hey, man, I was open." So I think a lot of receivers are, you know, probably, yeah, that way. And that's just kind of how it is, the nature of the position.
Jim, thoughts?
Yeah, well, no, sorry, Bob.
I'm sorry, did I wake you up?
Oh, geez, I was sleeping.
No. No, I just figured Bob was going to step in there, and I figured wrong. No, I think that's going to be a great thing to see with Dorsett when he comes to town, because you're right. I mean, and you know, and this is on a day that we're hearing about the Antonio Brown type thing, and I love Bruce Arians coming out and saying, you know, yeah, okay, the guy's talented, but we don't really need him here in Tampa to go with Tom Brady. We've already got enough good receivers, and we don't need to have the hassles in the locker room. So, yeah, to see a guy like that, like Dorsett, coming in here, he's not going to be demanding. I don't think we're going to see bad body language when the ball doesn't come to him if Russell doesn't see him. So I think it's just going to be a win-win all the way around.
Well, and they've got it, you know, for Tyler Lockett, a guy who's achieved as much as he has and put up really good numbers and relied upon as much as he is, he's a remarkably humble guy. He's a guy who has not changed. He is a guy who you've never seen be demonstrative if Russell throws the ball over his head or behind him or whatever. Tyler is a pretty unique guy when it comes to that, because he is very productive. He's underrated. He doesn't have the cachet in terms of the name value of Julio Jones or Antonio Brown or some of these other guys, but you look at his numbers and how efficient he is, his catch rate. I mean, he's amongst the best in the league, yet you talk about humility and being humble. He's the walking definition of it.
Oh, he absolutely is. And he's just such a nice kid. And just
uh-oh, did we lose Dave?
We may have just lost Dave. I'm going to check on that for a sec.
Right. That was going to be a really profound statement right there. All right. Well, we'll effort getting Dave back. We're still waiting for Doug Baldwin to call in. Do we still have you, Jim?
Yeah, I'm still here, Bob. I mean, you know what? Somebody's giving me a hard time. The 425 is saying, you know, that I'm getting caught napping. I'm not napping. I'm here. I'm ready to go.
That might just be mean
text. I'm on my toes.
Jim. That might just be mean text. You just got to roll with it like you normally do.
I also like the guy who texted in. You see this from the three? It's 509. And 509, as you know, is my favorite area code. And he said, "I'm really hoping you three lovable idiots are sipping on bourbon while doing the show today." Do you really think, 509, that we would stoop to such levels as drinking during the show?
Not Jim Moore. No. I do have to say, by God, is Dave back with us? Do we have Dave there? I thought I heard him. Maybe not. You texted us a video of you yesterday, Jim, downing a beer And I have to say I was impressed. Based on Dave's description of you, I expected you to be much slower. Now, you did spill a bit. It wasn't just a couple drops. You spilled a bit, but you were decidedly faster than I thought, and it almost sounded like Maura, in the text that she responded with, might be a little worried about the competition between you two.
Well, yeah, because it's supposed to be a semifinal matchup between Maura Dooley and myself, and the winner gets the right to, you know, take on the all-everything when it comes to beer chugging, apparently, or so he says in his mind, Paul Moyer. And so, yeah, I mean, Dave, you know, just seems to think that I can't put down a beer, and I made sure. I got a 16-ounce Coors Light yesterday, and it was in the garage refrigerator, and everyone knows that the garage refrigerator is always colder than the one in the kitchen. I don't know why that is, but it always seems that way. And I didn't want any excuses, you know, because a warm beer is easier to chug than a cold one. And so I got that beer real frigid. I poured it right to the top. You're right. I did spill just a little bit, but I'm warming up again. You know, it's not like I'm 21 over at the billiard den in Moscow, Idaho anymore. I'm 62 here on
Cougar
Mountain.
We actually just got
Doug on
the line.
So I've got to work on my game a little bit. Yeah, and we've got Doug Baldwin right now.
We got Doug Baldwin joining us now on the Zeke's Pizza Hotline. Doug, how are you, man?
I'm doing well, fellas. Sorry it took me a while to call in. We're a little busy over here.
No, we appreciate you doing it, man. We know you got a lot going on, and as we were talking about you to open the show, you've always been fun. You've always been a guy. You'd step into the room with us when we were doing the huddle. You'd come on and talk about the quarterback and the know-it-all, and it was a lot of fun, always making us laugh. But so we appreciate you spending a few minutes here to talk about what you've got going in the community during what is obviously a really trying time for everybody out there. For listeners that aren't aware of what you're doing, just give everybody a little heads up about Family First Community Center in Renton and how you're involved.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I appreciate you guys giving me the time and space to come chat with you for a little bit. But, you know, I think you guys know we've been working diligently on getting a community center built in Renton in the Cascade-Benson area. And obviously with everything that's going on in the world right now, construction and those plans have been put on hold. And so a few weeks ago, we decided that we would just pivot and put all of our resources and manpower towards, you know, helping the community during this time as we continue to see a growing need of you know, just support in a number of areas. And so right now we're focused on, you know, immediately I put out a request for volunteers to help us deliver meals to seniors and the more vulnerable in our community. But that need drastically changed and expanded as we started to work through it. And so now we're delivering meals to schools and to different organizations, as well as individuals and families who are needing this money. As you can imagine, you know, the economic implications of all of this is really what's causing a lot of the heartache, on top of the fact that we're dealing with a pandemic. So, you know, that's what we're doing right now. You know, we're obviously, we are taking volunteers, although we have, it's been an incredible response from the community in terms of volunteer service. So we're utilizing those volunteers right now. We know that the demand is going to grow, especially in Eastern Washington. So, you know, we're going to start recruiting out in Yakima and Spokane and also in the Tri-Cities because we're starting to see demand grow there as well. And then obviously taking in donations. And all those donations, 100% of the donations will go towards fighting this pandemic and helping the community. And you can do all of that by going to the familyfirstrenton.org website and either signing up or donating. So I make sure I make that plug real quick.
Familyfirstrenton.org. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, Doug, let me ask you this. And my kids always tell me that I compare everything to football. And so I'm going to continue to do that. How gratifying is this for you to do compared to, you know, what you did on the field?
I don't know if gratifying is the right word. I just, you know, I think a lot of people in the community have seen the need. And, you know, I've said this a number of times. There's so many amazing organizations. You know, one of them is Safeway that I've been working with hand in hand, and I don't think a lot of people realize the incredible work they do in the community. And so just being able to partner with them in a number of organizations like Northwest Harvest, like Feast, like Right at Schools, even some of these commercial organizations, commercial companies that are, you know, there's a company called Benchmark Motors. They, you know, they work on vehicles and customizations, and now they're spinning out face shields for our health workers. And so it's just, you know, it's just, I guess that part is rewarding to see the community come together and all these like-minded, passionate people coming together as a team for a common goal. And, you know, to use a football analogy, you know, that was one of the things that I was always so thrilled with as a Seahawk was, you know, being able to be part of a team and building that cohesiveness to go out and accomplish our goals. And it's very similar, although the stakes are much higher in this case. So in that regard, I guess I am, you know, I'm blessed and pleased to be working in this field in some ways.
Well, Doug, you're a year removed now from your playing career. I'm just wondering, do you miss football more or less than you thought you would?
That's a good question. I think, you know, it's only been a year. It's only been a year. So, you know, I don't know if the full effect of it has hit me as much. I also, you know, I have a daughter now, so she takes up most of my mental space. Don't really have time to think about it. But I will say that, and I think probably the biggest part that I miss is the camaraderie in the locker room. You know, the receiver group was so close, and we're still close. You know, I was just texting with those guys a couple seconds ago, actually. And so, you know, we're still very close in that regard, but that's probably the part I miss the most is seeing them every day on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, that it just comes with the territory. But, other than that, you know, I'm grateful for where I am. I'm getting healthy, you know, my body feels a lot better than it did. And so looking forward to having a healthy and long productive life and spending time with my family.
Speaking with Doug Baldwin here on 710 ESPN Seattle with Bob, Dave, and Moore for just a couple more moments. Doug, involved with Family First Community Center in Renton, doing a great thing to try to help people during this crucial time in our society here locally. Really cool to see him involved with this. Doug, what, you know, this aside, did you have a plan for post-football? Was there ever a job in mind where you thought, you know what, man, I would really like to do this? Because I know people, I follow you on Twitter, and I know people are, you know, trying to push you into politics, saying you should get involved with that, or you could be a broadcaster if you wanted to be an analyst, or, you know, be on a football broadcast if you wanted. It feels like the world's your oyster, so to speak. But did you have anything in particular you were looking at post-football in terms of a job or to occupy your time?
No, not really. Honestly, I had kind of an idea of what I wanted to do, and I jumped right into that. I'm working with a company now, helping startups spin out, really focused on health and wellness of, you know, just human beings. And so I'm doing that. I'm having a lot of fun enjoying that. But, you know, I don't think there was really any thought of going into politics. You know, I have been in the world of, you know, I hate to say it this way, but it's the truth of being an entertainer in some ways. And I really would just rather just be a normal human being on some levels and really focus on things that that I feel like are going to be most effective at, you know, and that's just being behind the scenes and, you know, moving in silence in some ways, because it's a lot easier to do that than when you're in the public eye.
All right, Doug, I know we got to let you go, but is Tyler Lockett finally listening to you?
He's always listened to me, you know, and that's not to say that I had some chasm of knowledge to give him. You know, it's just more so we talk through experiences more so than anything. But he's always listened. Tyler's always been a great guy in that respect.
Oh, I know. I was just teasing you because I remember you saying, yeah, Tyler still doesn't listen to me. But we were just talking about what a great kid he is and a great man that he is. And he's just, I know that you were his mentor.
No, you know, I always got to give Tyler a hard time. You know, it's just,
yeah, of course.
That's just the way it is, especially when you take a guy under your wing and he's like your little brother. You always got to give him a hard time, right? But you know, regardless of me giving him a hard time, he's he's always stepped up to the plate when he's needed to, whether it was on the field or off the field. So, you know, that goes without saying for him.
Hey, Doug, before we let you go, again, give the website and how people can get involved and help with what you've got going right now.
Yeah, so you can either go and volunteer to help us deliver food to those in need. We also need volunteers for other specific things, like we're helping Northwest Harvest build some of their meal kits that we are then delivering out to the community. So we're using volunteers for that as well. But you can go to the website. It's familyfirstrenton.org. And you can volunteer as for a volunteer, or you can also donate money. And again, 100% of those donations will go towards the cause of helping the community right now.
FamilyFirstRenton.org is the website. Doug Baldwin has been our guest. Doug, we miss you, man. We always love talking to you. We love the impromptu pop-ins you'd pull on us every once in a while at the building. And we can't appreciate more what you're doing out there in the community right now and moving forward. And hopefully we get a chance to talk again soon. Thanks so much, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you guys for having me.
There you go. Doug Baldwin doing great things in the community. We appreciate him taking a few minutes. We'll come back, talk a little bit about what he had to say. We got the professor coming up at the top of the hour. It is Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Bob Stelton, Dave Wyman, and Jim Moore.
Our thanks to Doug Baldwin for spending a few minutes with us. Great to catch up with him and really, really cool to see what he's doing out here locally to help everybody during this pandemic and the lockdown that's going on. So our thanks to him again. If you missed that conversation, we'll replay it for you coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. Meanwhile, how much will proceeding with the NFL draft, while we are all still social distancing, really impact things? GMs, few of them, upset about this. We'll ask the professor about that. He joins us next with Bob, Dave, and Moore on 710 ESPN Seattle.